Hey, Gamertag Radio listeners, this is Danny, founder and co-host of Gamertag Radio. Before we start with the episode, I would like to make a quick announcement that I'm going to be speaking at the Latinx Games Festival Saturday, September 14th at the Museum of Latin American Art. That's located in Long Beach, close to the Los Angeles area. But I would love for you to also join and be part of this event. So I'm going to be speaking about podcasting and about, of course, GTR, how I started and everything. But there's also going to be other speakers too. Tina Sanchez from Respawn. I know Xbox is going to be there and other great speakers. So this is what you have to do if you would like to attend. Go to LatinxGamesFestival.com. That's Latinx Games Festival. You could get tickets, more information about the event, and so on. And I would love to get the support from GTR. So, and Paris is probably going to be joining too, man. Going to be hanging out. Let's make it happen. Let's make a great meetup at the event. And I hope to see you there.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is episode 957 of Gamertag Radio. This is Paris. No Danny this week. Unfortunately, due to the hurricane that's barreling down on Florida, he will not be able to join me for this episode. So we're going to do this one just a little differently. So later in the episode, you guys are going to hear an interview I did at Gamescom. And this is for The Outer Worlds. I got a chance to sit down with one of the devs, one of the designers of the game. And we didn't really repeat anything from the previous interview we did for The Outer Worlds. Kind of jumped into some of the other details of the game, talked more about the world, things like that. Kept it very lighthearted. It was a great interview, and I appreciate those guys over at Obsidian and the Private Division for setting that up for me. So like I said, we'll do that interview here at the end of the show. But before that, I want to remind everyone, if you want to find us, we're over at GamertagRadio.com. You can get the podcast at Audio Boom using your favorite RSS feed catcher. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, just wherever you like to subscribe to podcasts, you'll be able to find Gamertag Radio. And if you want to leave us feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, like I said, this is just going to be a different episode this time. Not too much to really talk about other than this. PAX West is going on right now. So to everyone that's attending PAX West, hope you had a great show. I know there was a lot of things that were being shown there. I've seen some of the stuff on social media. That's been great. I personally had the bucket list item of being able to be a guest on IGN's Fireteam chat this week with Dustin Legarry and also guest hosted with Mesa Sean. He's a YouTuber big into Destiny, and we got to talk about Destiny too. It was awesome to be on that show. I want to thank Destin for extending the invite to me. It was a lot of fun. You guys know I love Destiny, so any opportunity I get to talk about Destiny is always a good thing. So make sure you go check out my guest appearance on IGN Fireteam chat. I believe it's on YouTube, and it is also a podcast. You can find that just the same as you can find Gamertag Radio on wherever your favorite RSS feed podcast catcher app of choice. So again, on Fireteam chat, thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciated that. So the other thing I want to talk about real quick before we go into the interview is Cyberpunk 2077. So it wasn't even technically at PAX. I mean, they had a presence at PAX because they did the cosplay event at PAX. But what CD Projekt Red did, instead of just showing you the entire demo that we got to see earlier this year at E3 and then a game at Gamescom, they did a 15-minute basically director's cut of that demo. And they kind of highlighted some of the big things from that demo. And then after that, they sat down with some of the devs, Holly over at CD Projekt Red. She was the host. I know Miles was also on the panel, and Powell as well. And then the third person, I do apologize. I don't have your name in front of me, but three of the devs from CD Projekt Red got to sit down, and they did, 45 minutes, almost an hour or so, just talking about the game and just what we can expect. A lot of great information came out of that. I will not try to repeat it here other than to say it just gets me even more excited for Cyberpunk 2077, that world of Night City, and just all the different things that we're going to be able to do in it. Fantastic. So make sure you check that out. I know it's on, it's pretty much everywhere. So if you go to YouTube, you can find it there. I believe if you go to cyberpunk.net, they have it linked up there as well. But fantastic 15 minutes. You'll be able to see the demo, see a lot of the things that we got to see in the private 45 minute demo they gave us. And then, like I said, you'll get that developer commentary afterwards. Definitely recommend everyone that's anticipating this game to check that out. Also along those lines, I know Danny's been playing Control. I've actually not started playing Control yet because Microsoft sent over a review code for Gears 5. So I've been playing Gears 5. Embargo's not up. We'll talk about that later in the week. But I've been playing Gears 5 on the PC. And this isn't an opinion on the game itself. This is an opinion on what I've seen so far with the PC implementation of Gears 5. It is fantastic. It is a great implementation of that game on PC. If this is a preview of what Microsoft is going to be doing into the future, going into 2020, as we head into Scarlet and the next generation of games with their PC implementation of games, I'm excited for it. Very, very happy so far with what I've been playing with Gears 5, which also just brings up something I've been talking about a lot anyways, is the fact that, you know, let's stop thinking about Xbox as a console, because it's not. Xbox is a service now. This is something, interview I did with Aaron Greenberg at Gamescom, we talked about a little bit. It's a service now. I have zero incentive at this point to pick up Scarlet, the console, unless I got it from my son, just wanted a second screen experience on the TV or whatever. But as my primary gaming for Xbox games, I'm going to do it on the PC. And Microsoft is perfectly fine with this. They're actually encouraging this now with Play Anywhere and with them really embracing Windows 10 gaming and like the Xbox app, everything that they have on Windows 10 now, it's really, really good where they're going. And I'm a Game Pass subscriber. So what does Microsoft care if I play on a PC? Sure, they're not getting my money for actually purchasing the console, but they typically sell a console at cost or at a loss. They're really never for profit, like especially when Scarlet comes out, they're not making a lot of money off of that. So it really doesn't matter if I buy a console when Scarlet comes out. It matters that I'm a Game Pass subscriber and I'm playing Microsoft games. Obviously, like I said, Gears 5 right now, we know Halo's coming next year and there's the Ori and the Blind Force sequel. There's all these games that are coming, you know, whatever the next Forza is going to be, etc. I will be playing those games, but I'll play it on the PC. And that's fine. That's great. I'm very excited for the future of gaming. I love where stuff is going right now. And, you know, there's rumblings of PlayStation even potentially bringing some of their exclusive to the PC platform as well, which is great. Because, again, if that happens, I now don't need to even get a PlayStation 5. I mean, I've invested so much money into my PC as it is. I love the fact that I can use it as my primary way to game. And with the way that cross save and cross play stuff is happening now, it should not matter what platform you play games on. As long as you're able to play with your friends, that's all that should matter. So exciting times right now. Like I said, Gears 5, playing that. Control, going to jump into that pretty soon. We know Borderlands 3 is about to come out. You know, Call of Duty's coming out, Ghost Recon's coming out. I mean, there's, you know, obviously the Destiny expansion's coming out. There's so many great games that are going to be coming out here in the next couple months. It's just going to be super busy, and I'm only one person, so I'll play what I can when I can, and we'll definitely talk about that stuff on the show. So I've rambled long enough. Thank you guys for listening to this. I'm now going to turn this over to my past self in Germany, where I got to sit down with Obsidian and we talked about the Outer Worlds. This is Paris. Thank you guys for checking out this interview.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hey, this is Paris. Still here at Gamescom. Can't believe I'm in Germany, but I'm here. So, as you know, I got a chance a few weeks ago to go hands-on with The Outer Worlds and play it. And here at Gamescom, I've had the chance to get someone else to talk about it, kind of follow up on some of the stuff we have from the first interview. So can you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, I am Brian Hines. I'm a senior designer with Obsidian Entertainment.
Thank you for taking a few minutes to talk to me about The Outer Worlds. So, like I said, I went to the preview event a few weeks ago, got hands-on with it, loved it.
Awesome.
Talked to Matt there.
Yeah.
That was great, getting some information out of him. Now, at the time, I wanted to kind of get more into just some of the talents and the perks and the things that we're going to get in The Outer Worlds. And he was like, we're not ready to talk about that yet. So I hope we're ready to talk about it now.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of those details came out as more of the press played and recorded. Yeah. Like, I know at least one person just did every single screen of deep character progression.
Yeah.
So that's all out there now.
So just a kind of a refresher really quick, explain to people what The Outer Worlds is.
So The Outer Worlds is Obsidian's new sci-fi role-playing game. It's a brand new IP created by Tim Kaine and Leonard Boyarsky, who are the original creators of the Fallout franchise. It's set in a distant colony, basically one that's controlled by a board of corporations, who decided basically to create a corporate utopia where all the laws and all the regulations are there to maximize corporate profits. And you as a player are brought into this system with the goal of trying to take on the board and deal with things. But obviously, it's your choice about whether to keep doing that or decide with the board and work for them instead.
Yeah. So, and that's the thing, like even through the marketing and the trailers that we've seen, and even in my hands-on time, there's obviously been a great sense of humor. Like you're having fun with this game. But if you really start to deep dive in just a little bit that I got to play, you could see there's an extra layer down there of just choice of the things that you do. There's a lot of morality in the choice that you make. Because I think the mission I played, it was with the guy, I just call him the pick farmer, but it was the thing, he had all the picks. And there was the choice that, hey, I could just betray the person that sent the bounty out, or I actually go do the job. I just chose to do the job and then it ended. So I don't know what the ramifications of that's going to be, but it brings up, I'm assuming as we progress through the game, we're going to see a lot of those different kind of choices and morality things, you know, throughout.
I mean, choice is kind of like what Obsidian does. Yeah. That's the thing we are passionate about as a company, is creating these like great situations where, like you're saying, you're sent in to deal with a guy, which may involve killing him, which is what the quest giver really wants you to do.
Yeah.
Or you could like totally sabotage his business, get all his workers to quit, like ruin his life basically and leave him like with nothing. Or you could choose to like decide to say, you know what? I like you. I like the way you decided to like just kill everyone and feed them to the pigs. Yeah. That's a great moral choice. And then to go back and betray the person who sent you there instead. Like, we really want the players to have those moments where they could just make those choices and totally turn on the people who send them to do things and decide like how they want to play the game the way they want to play it.
Trust me, I'm excited. So again, I said this at the previous interview, but I mean, Fallout New Vegas for me is just one of the best RPGs I've ever played.
Oh, thank you.
And I get that sense again from this, so I'm not going to repeat that too much. But
Keep saying it. It's great.
Hey, Fallout New Vegas is awesome. I love it. But let's get into the kind of the talents and the perks. What are, again, for people just trying to understand what this is where we get into RPG portion of the game, where we start to create our builds and the way that we want to play The Outer World. So can you talk about just some of the talents and perks people could expect in the game?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different things we look at. So The Outer Worlds is a skill-based progression system.
Yep.
So as you level up, you put points in different skills.
Right.
And for every 20 points in a skill, you unlock basically a new ability. So things like one of my favorites is like if you focus on hacking as a skill, it gets you a lot of options for like getting access to areas in the game you wouldn't normally, finding alternate ways besides combat to deal with problems. But at a certain level, you also get the ability to, like, you can always like sneak around areas and walk up behind enemies. And one of the things you get is the ability to pickpocket them. With a hacking skill, you gain the ability to actually like walk up behind a robot and shut them down using your hacking skill. So you've got these bots patrolling areas that are like secure areas, and if you can sneak up behind them, you can shut them down, and the entire thing becomes safe then from that point forward. So for someone who's like maybe going for a non-combat path, that's a great way to have like a totally pacifistic way through the game, is just, oh, I'm a master hacker. I can shut everything down, like totally disable robots, disable all the security systems, and just deal with things that way. So like those types of like skill upgrade perks are fantastic for giving you new options for how to play the game. Or like one of the more common ones we talked about is like as you like get better with your weapon skills, We have our tactical time dilation system where you can kind of slow down time. You unlock the ability to do like location based hits on characters, like, which I love. We have, obviously there's like headshots can blind people, but like for whatever reason, once people get this and start like finding out like what all the different options are, everyone hones in on shooting people in the crotch to weaken them, which weakens everyone watching as well.
Yes. So. That's awesome. So this is The Outer Worlds. And I believe, again, when I played it before, that was it Monarch?
Yes, that was Monarch.
It was Monarch where I was at. So, you know, not to big spoilers or anything, but are we going to be visiting multiple planets and like different environments as we're playing the game?
So there are two major planets you'll travel to, plus a host of other areas like asteroids and space stations and other ships and that sort of thing that you'll be able to travel to. Monarch is probably our largest open world exploration area. The other main world, which is Terra 2, is kind of more controlled by the different corporations. So they don't want their people traveling easily between different corporate townships because they want control over the population. So it's like smaller, more contained areas of Terra 2 you travel between.
That's awesome. So final thing on this is, again, just when I did play it, the thing that I marveled at was kind of just the color palette that was there and just the art. So I don't know if there's anything additional you can kind of tell people as we're talking right now about the art style. I mean, is everything going to be, there's going to be a lot of diversity? Is it going to be similar to Monarch, or as we go to these different environments, we're just going to see different color palettes and just different designs?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things we wanted to do is make sure that each of the different areas you travel to have their own look, their own vibe. Yeah. So that, I mean, we basically wanted the goal, like if you saw a screenshot, you'd be able to tell what world it was taking place on. Yeah. So I think we've done a great job of accomplishing that. Our art director and art team has done a fantastic job of making like a world that is colorful but also dark at the same time. Yeah. Like it's not like there was a joke many years ago that like next gen games are all brown. Like this is the opposite of that.
Right. And that's what I mean. Like, it was like literally popping off the screen, as we're playing, and I really appreciated that.
And we want players like walking to, like they be able to just stop and like look at some of like, because there's times like it night comes out and then you see like the various planets and starscapes, like you just want to look at some of those because they're just so beautiful.
And I would just, final thing I would say, just to your sound design team, anyone that watched my preview video as I was playing, just the ambient noise in the background just totally set the mood for everything that you were doing. It was really good. So I would expect we'll see a lot of diversity in just some of the music and the sound of the game as well.
I think the build that you were playing, actually we had a lot of areas hadn't had a music pass yet because that's like been coming online. Like we've been getting those recordings in over the past few weeks. Yeah. So when the game releases, that'll all be in place. And like it adds so much life to areas once that finally goes in. Like that's one of the things people ask me, like what moments feel great in games? It's like when you have like a level that's like totally gray blocked and like the art first comes in, or you start getting like the VO in for a conversation or a character, or audio starts getting a pass in the game. Like, the game just comes alive and comes together in a way that just it didn't exist before. Now it's like, we made a real game. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's so cool. I just thought about this. So it's on the Switch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so because right when we did the first one, I remember the person that was with me, Danny, he asked about it, and they're like, we're not talking about that. And then it came out right.
Not yet.
It's on the Switch. So can you kind of talk about that? What decision went into putting on the Switch?
Well, yeah. So I mean, obviously we're working with Private Division. We would love to have our game played everywhere as much as possible.
Yeah.
So we were looking at, like, is it possible to actually take this game? It's like Unreal 4 on Xbox, on 360 and PS4. Can we get that actually running on the Switch? So we are partnering with Virtuous, who are actually have experience porting games to this platform before. And they're able to start getting a build up and running very quickly. And we're seeing things where it's like, wow, this is like coming together very well. Yeah. And like, it's been a really great partnership so far. So like, we're really excited. Like, I mean, you talked with Matt before. He is a huge Nintendo fan. Like, when we said we were doing a Switch port, like, I've never seen him happier than that moment. So it's going to be fantastic. Like, actually seeing that on that type of platform, having people be able to have that as an option for how to play the game.
Oh, no, I'm very excited for that, because initially I'm like, well, I'm playing it on PC because, you know, I spent all this money on a PC. That's where I'm going to play it. But then when that announcement came, I'm like, wait a minute, I can take this anywhere I want and still be able to play it. So it's for sure going to be an option. So final thing, The Outer Worlds, October 25th.
Correct.
Xbox, PlayStation, Switch.
PC.
And on PC.
Yes.
So again, thank you so much for talking to me about
this. Thank you for coming.
I'm very excited to play this game. Like I said, I love Fallout New Vegas. I said it again. There you go. So this just seems to be the spiritual successor to that. So I'm very excited for it.
Awesome. That's what we're going for. We want something that, if you love playing like New Vegas, if you love KOTOR 2, like that style of Obsidian RPG, you're going to love The Outer Worlds.
Right. Well, thank you. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. Had a lot of fun doing it. The Outer Worlds, again, is another game that I'm anticipating coming out here this holiday, October 25th. And again, I'll most likely be playing it on PC. So that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening to this. Like I said, the hurricane happening, we just weren't sure of Danny's availability. So I figured I'd just jump in here and get something recorded and get some content out for you guys. So thank you again for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. And if you want to leave us feedback, you can do it just like this.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, and that is going to do it for episode 957 of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. We'll be back later this week. We'll be talking about Control. We'll be talking about Gears 5, and should be a lot of fun. So until the next time, thank you guys for listening.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.